FM and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper. And Liz, we have two young men with us around the table today.
Yes, we do. So we have Ben Adams and Crawford Levoy from Piedmont Restaurant. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in this morning. I'm sure this might not be your optimum time of day to be out and conversing, so we really appreciate you taking the time. But I'd like to go ahead and just get a little background on the two of you. So, Crawford, since you're sitting right next to me, you want to go ahead and start?
So, originally, I am from the state of Louisiana and was born there and grew up around the Gulf Coast. And then as I got into the restaurant business, as, you know, I think a lot of people do in college as something to do, a bug really bit me, and I started to have a passion. And luckily, it was that I had mentors around me who kept bringing me in and teaching me new things. And so certainly when I was in Baton Rouge, I had a number, and then I eventually moved to New Orleans for an opportunity to work with Chef John Besh at Restaurant August. And so I spent 3 years with him and his organization, and which was really great. And then you know, as times changed, it was more restaurants opening for him, and I wanted to try some different things. And one of the things I, you know, knew about is how great the Triangle is as an area. And so decided to make the move here, and then was lucky enough to just kind of randomly connect with Ben on the off chance. A lot of people think that we were kind of found together, but it was really just coincidence. And so I'm here now living in Durham and really enjoying my time in North Carolina.
Fantastic. So Ben, how about you?
I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, and then went to school in Chapel Hill and graduated in 2004, and didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I ended up getting a job up on Wall Street in New York back when they were just kind of hiring anybody who could read and write up there. I got sick of that after about 3 years and moved out to Portland, Oregon to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. I thought cooking could maybe be something, so I did a little six-month program out there and realized I really enjoyed it, and then have been kind of cooking ever since. I worked my way back to Charleston and cooked at Hominy Grill for a while there, and then McCready's with Sean Brock, and then was looking for kind of a place to settle down and do my own thing, and ended up back in this neighborhood and reconnected with Jamie Dement, who's one of the partners at Piedmont, who was an acquaintance of mine back in UNC, and they were looking for someone to kind of take over the kitchen, and it worked out, and we've been going since then.
So it's all kind of worked out well together.
It has.
So how long have you both been at Piedmont?
Just literally like a year and 1 week for me, and you know,
rapidly approaching a year for me.
Right. Yep. So it's still new and still really exciting then.
It is.
Good. So who else was with Jamie? That's the Coon Rock Farm connection, right?
There is she and her partner, Richard.
We've had Richard in the chairs with you. And he probably is the one that told us over all the years we've been doing this show, he told the funniest story about taking pigs to market, which I swear he couldn't have made it up. It was so, it was so funny. You have to ask him sometime about his going to the market with his pigs. But anyway, so Coon Rock, I remember talking to them back then when they were getting ready to open Piedmont. And the whole idea was, it was not novel at the time, but it was certainly that idea of, you know, fresh food from the farm right to the table without a lot of, you know, intermediaries. Yeah. Is that sort of still the philosophy for you?
That is the philosophy. I think we've diversified a bit to other farms in the area, just as I think we've all realized that with Coon Rock CSA and other things, there's only, you know, so much produce they can grow at one time. And especially as we've gotten busier, it'd be pretty much impossible to source entirely from one farm. So we get food from them, but also source from a bunch of other farms in the area. And we're also located just a block from the Durham Farmers Market. So that makes it really, really easy for, especially now that the Wednesday market's open, just to swing by there and pick up whatever we need, really.
Yeah, it's a great source, I would imagine, for you guys to be able to just see what's available and what's fresh. And so does the menu change often? I mean, are you just sort of like whatever's fresh is what you're working with?
Or? It does. It's kind of a continual progression. I don't do as much of kind of, you know, this is our spring menu, this is our summer menu. It's more of kind of a gradual evolution as new products come in and we kind of get ideas from those. I think it's always one of those things. I'm always frustrated that I'm not changing dishes fast enough. I get pretty impatient with it. But kind of as quickly as we, as often as we can, it makes sense, we do.
And that goes for the for the meats and protein as well as the vegetables from the market, right?
It does. I think especially seafood wise, that's a bit more seasonal, I would say, than you know pigs in the area are raised year round, so that kind of stuff. But I think definitely on the seafood side we see that.
Do you have a favorite season you like? I mean, obviously the fall has the most choice probably, but are you a spring vegetable person or a summer fruit person?
I'm a summer guy. I think especially growing up in Charleston, I mean, this time of year I'm already impatient for tomatoes and corn to be coming in. I think, you know, perfectly ripe tomatoes are probably my most favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
So this time of year, up here, you know, it is kind of a month delay from Charleston as far as when the summer stuff really comes in. So I'm already starting to get a bit antsy for that.
So from Crawford, you're more of the front of the house, the beverage program. So do you find that as the menu changes, do you adjust your beverage program to fit those particular needs?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that we look at doing in the front is, first off, the wine program and kind of seeing what Ben has coming out. So certainly, you know, in the winter when things are more root vegetable driven or heartier driven as a dish, we try to find things that are more, you know, a little bit tannic, have a little bit more fruit based. So something
more body,
yeah. Rhone, sure. Syrahs and things like that, versus right now we're kind of in that back off period where we're trying to get, you know, really light, enjoyable whites.
Summer quaffing wine.
And then, you know,
it's Gruner season,
right. It's Beaujolais season.
Sure,
and at the same time, trying to find beer made in North Carolina that complements the food as well for those people who want to enjoy.
Well, that's like a candy store right now with beer. I mean, there's so many breweries. There's so much to choose from now.
Absolutely. And coming from a small beer state, it makes it a little bit challenging, but it's certainly one of those tasks that appears daunting but is really enjoyable to do at the same time.
Very good. We'll be right back with more conversation. Don't go away. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper, and I'm here with my host, Jay White. And, of course, we have Ben Adams and Crawford Levoy with us. Jay, you had a question?
Yeah, Crawford, you come from a city that, next to Charleston, is probably the preeminent food capital in the South, at New Orleans, right? So do you love to cook? Do you get in the kitchen? Do you get in his way? Does he invite you into his kitchen?
Absolutely. You know, I think New Orleans will always have a special place in everyone's heart as being, you know, a certain food experience that people who visit have. One of the interesting things in moving to the area is to see, you know, things like where Southern Living recognized Durham as the South's tastiest town, beating both New Orleans and Charleston. So that was exciting, exciting yet conflicting for me all at the same time. You know, at the restaurant, I think when we started out, there were no plans for me to get involved in the kitchen. And then, you know, when you're learning each other's personalities and the stress of running a restaurant that's busy, I have gotten back there a couple of times and we've had a lot of fun together. Getting in his way, that certainly happens sometimes.
If our audience could actually see the head nodding going on back here, this is great.
There have been a couple battle scars, I think, for Crawford along the way.
Yeah, I may have some burns on my arms from Ben in the kitchen, but, you know, I think it's all about, it's just like any job. Cross-training is important, and one of the things that I think makes it easier to pair the menu, easier to be in the front and talking to guests is a working knowledge of what's going on in the kitchen.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that knowledge allows me to try to convey what Ben's mission and Ben's philosophy is so much easier out in the dining room versus not having that knowledge and not knowing really what the techniques are and where the ingredients are coming from and meeting the farmers myself. So it's, you know, we have a working relationship with farmers and ranchers as a restaurant, but then we have this relationship with them as individuals as well. Right. So like I still buy from some of our restaurant suppliers for my own house with, you know, different farms in the area. So it's become that conversation that's really important.
I think it's really refreshing because I know from years of working in restaurants, there's always been that sort of, there's the front of the house and the back of the house, and never shall the two get along or meet. And it causes a lot of problems. And I think I really see it a lot more, and I think it's really refreshing that you actually work together, and there is a, it's important that as menus changes, that your menus change, or that, you know, if a style that you're using or a new farm or whatever, that you two embrace it together and work together, and there's sort of a symbiosis as opposed to just stay back where you and let me handle this.
In Crawford's being a bit modest, he is a very talented cook and brings in a lot of really good Cajun food that he cooks at home. So.
Yay.
So I value his opinion.
You really cook, so that's...
He does.
That's amazing. So you had mentioned earlier when we were on break about having special seasonal dinners, and vegetarian was the adjective you used. So can you expand upon that?
It began kind of late last summer when, you know, we've kind of, the restaurant has traditionally done kind of a summer dinner series during the kind of the slower months when school's out, just to, I think, kind of to help drive the cuisine forward, bring some folks in who might not otherwise. And we thought it might be fun to do kind of a vegetarian-driven dinner towards the end of last summer when we were getting just incredible amounts of just beautiful, beautiful produce. So we worked with a couple of the younger farmers in the area to do that, and had a really, really awesome turnout. I think for us, that was the first kind of event that we did where we really packed the restaurant. The Indy Week did an article on it, so that was kind of the first local press we got as a team. So I think for us, it was kind of, you know, it was a pretty significant moment for us just getting started at Piedmont.
And interesting that it was vegetarian. I mean, not that I'm against vegetarians in any way, shape, or form, although I like to have meat. but I think that's interesting that you were able to fill it up and that people really embrace that,
mm-hmm.
that particular style of cooking.
I think it's kind of a bit of a fun challenge for me just to, you know, force myself to come up with four courses that are just completely vegetarian driven. I think kind of gets you thinking about some ways to work with vegetables that you might not otherwise.
And if you look around, I mean, vegetarian dinners, vegetarian tasting menus are becoming huge parts of some of the best dining rooms in,
right.
across the country. And so it, to us, it made a logical choice to just go forward with this dinner. And then now, as we've kind of gotten back to making a year anniversary, we want to get back to it.
So are you going to do this? How often do you think you'll put this on?
This is a quarterly goal for us that we want to, you know, we try to take seasonality to a level that most restaurants, you know, may not have the ease to. And that's kind of what Ben talks about when he talks about the constant progression. So we want to, in the heart of each season, really stop and feature a vegetarian dinner with what's coming in from some of our partners and try to show, you know, their beautiful product in a new inventive way.
That's great. And are you going to give
do you close the restaurant that night, and is it just that menu, or is it supplementary to what's going on in the restaurant? Or
we did the last time we did it, it was fully booked, so we did shut down the restaurant and just do that event.
I was going to say, are you going to give equal play to people that only eat meat?
Well,
you could have like a slaughtering menu or something.
The whole hog thing.
In our summer dinner series, which will be going on all throughout the summer, even one of the things that we plan on doing in kind of that spirit of, you know, carnivorism, if you will, is doing a whole hog roast with a very good friend of ours, who does a kind of roll-around barbecue smoker. So we'll do a whole hog roast with him, which will be really exciting, and that's going to be later in the summer as well. So a little equal play going on.
Fun stuff to look forward to. And that can find all that on your website.
Right. It's www.piedmontrestaurant.com/events. And you'll always have a list of all of our summer dinner series, as well as different things around town in the state that we're participating in. So you always know where to find Ben or I around the area.
That's great. So. And so you're just kind of to go back to the style of cooking just a little bit. Would you say that it's Southern regional, or do you have a particular... not to completely pigeonhole the restaurant, but obviously it's named Piedmont and not the Italian version. So would you say that it's more of a Southern regional type of fare?
I would say kind of Southern regional / modern American. Definitely, you know, Southern influences in there, but I think not quite as much of, you know, shrimp and grits or some of the tradition, you know, super
just
traditional.
Just definitely branching away from that.
Okay. Exactly.
Excellent.
Very good. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper with my host here, Jay White. Jay, you had a question?
Yeah. Crawford, earlier you had said that you weren't surprised, but Durham was voted the tastiest town by Southern Living over both Charleston and New Orleans. Can you figure out how that happened, and do you think it's justified? And
well, certainly I'm sure a lot of things went into what Southern Living was looking at when they looked at naming Durham the tastiest town in the South. You know, for me, I have dined in all three cities, and I've now worked in two. There are more restaurants per capita in the city of New Orleans now than there was prior to Hurricane Katrina. But for what I find is Durham and the Triangle as a whole has a constant evolution of food. And that's something you're seeing, is that the menus are always changing. And the access to the food is so much shorter. You know, it's not a secret that both Charleston and New Orleans are, in a way, surrounded by water. Right. And the idea of getting food from the farm in New Orleans was an hour and a half drive. We get in our car from the restaurant, it's a 20-minute drive to our farm where we have access to anything we want. So it becomes this much easier to evolve, as well as the excitement in the area is really driving more people to come and see what they can do and really change how we look at food. And I think that that excitement is what really drives this whole tastiest town in the South.
That was a great way to wrap that up. Fantastic. And now it's the hot seat time. So as we do every week, I'm going to go ahead and start with the first question, and I'll ask you both, and you can each have your chance to answer. So you're invited to a dinner party, and you have your option to sit between any two people, dead or alive, famous or not famous. Who would you choose and why? So, Ben, I'm going to make you start because you look very serious there.
This is a bit of a bizarre pairing here, but I would love to dine with Kirk Hammett, the lead guitarist of Metallica, who I find very hilarious in all of his YouTube appearances. And is a little bit of who I, you know, would maybe want to be if I could be anybody in life. And then Stephen Colbert, who is a fellow alum of my high school, Porter Gaud in Charleston, another person who I find, you know, very funny, but also, you know, very smart.
I bet that would be very interesting conversation. Okay, Crawford.
Wow. I don't even know what to say after that. My brain automatically went to like two of the people I love most in the industry as far as watching them and learning from them. Jeffrey Zakarian and Danny Meyer, who between general managers, restaurateurs, and chefs are kind of, you know, I would love to be them later in life.
There you go. That's a great answer.
And then the other one of our questions is, what little secret is there in your refrigerator that you might not want the rest of the world to know that you like to indulge in?
I have limon y pepina flavored Gatorade. So lime and cucumber flavored Gatorade, which is one of the most, I think it's their best flavor they've ever created, and is very refreshing on a hot spring day.
I haven't either. Great answers, guys. Good luck, and we have to make it over there. Liz and I are convinced we're going to come visit.
It'll be our pleasure to have you.
No
problem. Look forward to it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Join us again next week for another show.